Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
These days it's hard to have fun. Looking for a little girl, a little undone by the progress of man, by the touch of a loving hand. Oh, oh.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Perfectly Good Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where we are counting down every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. We are on Leap Day, even though you're hearing this in March. Sylvan and I are taking the extra day of this year to spend it talking about John Hiatt, and I can't think of a better way. Sylvan, happy leap year day.
Happy leap year to you. And it's also not only a weird day of the calendar, but a weird day of the week that we would normally record. So I have to thank you, Jesse, for being accommodating. I had the great fortune of seeing Lily Hiatt in concert last night. I think it goes without saying to our audience, if you have an opportunity to see Lily, get yourself to whatever venue she is playing. I happen to see her at a brewery in Boston, which was a little weird. I always associate both Lily and John with recovering from alcoholism. And we were in this very dark room full with giant vats of beer. So it was a little strange, but such a great show. I really have to give her kudos for the wonderful songs that she performs, the amazing energy she performs, the guitar shredding that you would not believe, everything that we come to expect. She's touring with another Tennessee musician, and she is doing the great service of making sure that she has on the act local musician in each city that she goes to. And I think that's so lovely. It just so happened that her opener was Boston musician named Megan Tracy, who happened to be a friend of the podcast, Critique, who we had on and who was my guest at Lily Hiatt. So you can imagine the multiple levels of fangirling I was experiencing that night. I just had the best time last night, and I was able to speak very briefly with Lily. Who knows, maybe after her tour winds down, she might visit us, but she was kind enough to do a little recording. Do you want to hear it now?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear.
Hi, this is Lily Hiatt, and you're listening to Perfectly Good Podcast.
Okay, that is awesome. That is so cool. I thank you so much. You are going above and beyond your work as the best co-host ever. That's so cool. She knows that we exist.
She does. And I told her that we did go ahead and record all kinds of people, and she seemed a little shy. I'm like, oh no, you don't have to be shy. We rated it quite well and discovered how much we admire your songwriting as well as your performing and your connection. But she's just so lovely, and some people are shy about approaching celebrities. It was funny with Pratik, who I consider a celebrity, though he doesn't consider himself one, being very starstruck. And then she was just so wonderful and asking him about his music, and fantastic night. And thank you for letting me blabber about that.
Oh, no, I'm really good. Who was the other opening act, the one that's traveling with her?
I believe it was Molly Martin is the name. I'm just going to be so embarrassed if I got okay. that wrong, but also very impressive. But if excuse me if my memory isn't firing as it usually does. It's been a very long time since this 40-something-year-old was at a club until midnight. And
on a
I had
school
to drive
night.
Home.
On a school night, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't going back to the suburbs of Boston. It was going back to the hills of Vermont with black ice warnings and high wind advisories. Totally worth it.
We appreciate that. That is so good. I can't wait. I have tickets to see her toward the end of March. Here in Dallas, we had hoped that it was going to work out where you were going to come down here and see her, but we're very excited to see her. Linda's going with me, and when I do my review, there will be a little sense of coming home, because when we first started watching Sarah Hickman, she played every Monday night at Club Donna, and so that's where Lily is playing, is Club Donna, so we're excited to go hear her play.
I'm sorry to not miss you, but I feel like before the end of our A to Z journey, we are going to see probably Lily and John together in one venue.
So. Yeah, I'm hoping so too. That would be a lot of fun. Okay, great. Yes, definitely go to the website, look up where Lily is performing, and go out there, support her. And if you get a chance to tell her you heard about it on Perfectly Good Podcast, and we would appreciate it.
Yes.
All right. Now that we've got the little housekeeping done, before we go to the song, we still got a couple weeks left in our contest. So please tell me, has anyone entered yet, Sylvan?
We do have a handful of entries. We have more entries than we have prizes to give away. So this is going to be a natural raffle, but there's plenty. The odds are in your favor here. And as a reminder, we have two autographed biographies by Michael Elliott, Have Little Faith, The John Hiatt Story. We reference this book all the time. Every time before I sit down to record with Jesse, I want to make sure that I double check it for any interesting facts that I want to include in our section. And it's just a great read. If you don't already have a copy, this is a great way to get one. If you do already have a copy, this is a way to have a special one that is autographed by the author. And all you have to do, easy peasy, is spread the word about Perfectly Good Podcast. Post a review on a website. That would be our preference. But even if you just have a personal friend that you want to tell about this podcast, prove it to us either in a screenshot or something that you have recommended us. Send it to our email, perfectlygoodpodcast@gmail.com, and your name is in the hat. Anything I forgot there?
No, I think that is perfect. I'm so happy that people are telling people about it, because not only are we getting word out about the podcast, but it's also getting word out about John's music, and that's so important for us. So thank you for doing that. And I'm excited that people are setting up and doing that. So yay.
Yay.
All right. With all the housekeeping done, we do have to talk about a song. We get to talk about a song. So why don't you give us some of the facts? Give us just the facts, Sylvan.
Just the facts. Tonight, we are talking about a song called Forever Yours. It was track number 4 from the album All of a Sudden. All of a Sudden, which was released in 1982, it has the distinction of being one of the few that was not released on a CD right away. In fact, it was out of print for many years, including the years that Sylvan was first getting really into John Hiatt. So it was my white whale for a while. It was produced by Tony Visconti and recorded at the Power Station in New York City. Featured John Hyatt on vocals and guitar, Jesse Harms on keyboard, James Rolleston on bass, and Daryl Vidusco. So all of a sudden has a lot of mixed reviews, especially out a few years. But I was able to actually pull up a review from the time, April 11, 1982 issue of the Los Angeles Times had an absolutely glowing review of this album. And I think you could pull this quote out today and have it still apply. The author, Robert Hilburn, raves about our man, saying, much like Randy Newman, Hyatt writes about deeply personal emotions, but prefers to cloak them in wry or humorous terms to keep the themes from becoming too melodramatic or morose. He also often shifts the target of the song from the first person to the second, so that you don't know whether his accusation is really a reminder to guard against temptations himself. I thought that was actually pretty good. And you could probably say that about some of John's more modern songs. Just to round up just the facts, I thought that maybe this "Forever Yours" is a common enough phrase that it would appear in a lot of different songs. And I was right. Wikipedia has 10 different songs with this title in its disambiguation, including Janet Jackson. And "Forever Yours" was also a variant of the Milky Way chocolate bar once upon a time. I don't know if maybe John was hungry and looking for a snack when he thought of this particular song, but those are just the facts as I know them.
Very nice. I just went to Wikipedia. And there is a review from Rolling Stone, Steve Pond, that says, America's answer to the early acidic Elvis Costello spent his last two albums battling unsympathetic producers and a baffled record company, and he's clearly rejoicing at having found better times. Showing off his strongest vocals yet, Hyde has turned generous and freewheeling. All of a sudden, his 12 songs range from Human League-style synthesizer workouts to twisted rockabilly to full-blown ballads. And I won't go through the whole thing. And I do not see what they gave it, but it is nice to read that early, the review from Rolling Stone.
Yeah, and it's especially interesting because it really seemed, even by the time Warming to the Ice Age came out, people were talking about what a mess all of a sudden is. And yeah. I do think that was part the bad blood of the overproduction and the negative experience, which Michael Elliott talks about in his book of recording this, that even John wanted to forget about this one and shove it under the rug. But as we found, because it is not the first time that we have discussed a song from this album, they're still John Hyatt songs. And I wouldn't even say that they're necessarily the bottom of the pile. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but there's a lot to discover in All of a Sudden. And this is actually the second song that we've discussed from this album, Clearing Out Just the Facts.
Yeah, I am obviously looking forward to talking about this because we always do. So here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to take just a little break, just a slight break. I promise we're going to be right back. And then we're going to talk about the lyrics. We're going to talk about the themes and we're going to have a whole lot of fun. So don't go anywhere.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Okay, we're back. My first thought hearing this was, and it's funny, I thought this before I read the Rolling Stone review, we are in prime Elvis Costello halo, right? I'm not saying John's trying to sound like Elvis Costello. I remember I have not talked about Lisa Mesh on this podcast. Lisa Mesh was one of Linda's best friends from high school. There were four of them, Lisa, Jennifer, Becky, and Linda. And Lisa is the one that went to the East Coast and first discovered Bruce. She was the first person I ever heard mention Bruce Springsteen's name. But Linda was talking about how Elvis Costello sounded like John. And Lisa corrected her in her mind, no, John sounds like Elvis. I think that some of us would argue. But I do think it's funny that they have performed together and they seem to be a lot of respect with each other.
Oh yeah. I think they absolutely have a great deal of mutual respect. And I say that having dug many a quote, and for that matter, speaking of our contest, Elvis Costello wrote the foreword in Michael Elliott's wonderful book.
So, yes. Yeah. Which I first want to say, I like the song. I really enjoyed spending time with it today. What are your thoughts? Quick thoughts.
I did enjoy it. It was not a song that I dreaded listening to over and over again, pulling back the curtain. Jesse and I typically get ready to record two songs at a time. So I put together a playlist on my phone that has those two songs and whatever covers I can come up with. I did not find any covers for Forever Yours. There probably are some out there. And so came up more often. I was listening to just John's version of the song more often than some weeks where I'm listening to 10 different versions of something. I never minded it, but that's where it ends for me, that I wasn't ever thinking like, oh man, I really should have paid more attention to this song in the past, or oh, this is such a great example of the reason why we love John Hiatt and we want to spend 7 years talking about every one of his songs and this level of detail.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You want to go through this? Musically, there's nothing that stands out to me. Once again, as we always say, we're not musicians, but there are times when we go, and that's often happened in this journey, where I go, I know the lyrics aren't that necessarily good, but I love the tune and the emotion of this song. But so, yeah, you want to talk a little bit of lyrics?
Sure. And I would echo exactly what you just said about the music and that it sounds like John was trying to be radio friendly, which I think it doesn't even occur to us to talk about now because one who listens to the radio, everything has become so segmented with Spotify and so forth. And two, that we forget that was the goal for a long time for John. He talks about trying to fit into a niche or whatever. And to me, this sounds like a late 70s, early 80s rock. I don't know beyond that what kind of format he would have been trying to, but certainly not trying to fit into the Nashville country scene, but it's trying to hit that Rolling Stone listener, reader, where they live, I think. Musically.
Yeah, I'm thinking of somebody like Joe Jackson, right? That
yeah.
You would not think of him as someone who has this classic radio hits, but there was a couple of albums where his musical taste were picked up. And I've probably only picked up those two or three albums during that time period and loved all of them and then just moved on. And if you can get, like Little Steven said, when The River came out, we had a hit on the radio. Mm-hmm. And when we had a hit on the radio, that brought the females to the live shows, which brought even more men to the live shows. And so there is that of, and today in 2024, as we're recording this, I don't listen to pop radio. I don't listen to any radio unless it's Sirius in the car. And then it's,
right.
It is a specific
segmented channel.
It could be 70s, 80s, or 90s, or road trip radio, or a specific mix. But at the time, it was a way to earn a living and to go through a key. One of the keys to success was get on the radio.
Because that's how people found out about you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Want to go through the lyrics?
I'd be happy to.
All right.
I'll start.
Yes, please.
These days, it's hard to have fun looking for a little girl, a little undone by the progress of man, by the touch of a loving hand. Should I go on or do we want
to? Sure. Go ahead. I think.
Maybe we touch too much. You and me, baby. I'm not good in a clutch. I'm not going to sit and cry, though I'm an unlucky guy. I'm forever wondering.
So, there's a lot there and there's a not a lot there, right? And it is, first off, I always smile when I say, when they use the little girl. Bruce has done that multiple times and it does not age. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? Sound horrible.
I never really compared John and Bruce, you know, John at his best is certainly, I won't blaspheme by saying he's better than Bruce, but he has nothing to apologize for in comparison to Bruce.
Absolutely.
This compared to a somewhat dated, uncomfortable song of I'm on Fire, which is also a really great song musically. It's not in the same universe. I'm sorry.
Yes, I agree. These days, it's hard to have fun looking for a little girl, a little undone by the progress of man, by the touch of a loving hand. I don't know what he's trying to say there. Do you have any theories?
I have a theory that I don't really want to believe, but it's a theory. And we have this podcast because we enjoy talking about things. And if people disagree with me, please come
Absolutely.
And disagree.
Yeah.
To me, it's the purity culture kind of thing. It's the idea of he's a man who has desires, be they carnal or marriage or whatever. But the idea of you want the untouched female, the virginal beauty, the spoiled rose, whatever metaphor, whatever. And so that's what he's talking about, that that he has these kind of urges, but he also has, and I think that the fact that John was raised Catholic gets tied up into this a little bit, that he wants to have a loving hand with a girl, but he also wants a girl who would never have been touched by a loving hand. And that's where we get into the, maybe we touch too much, and this kind of tension between those two ideas. That's one of the things that I think he might be talking about. It could be that's a little bit too literal with these words. And so that
I'm looking for a little girl, a little undone by the progress of man. Undone by the progress of man is, and by the touch of a loving hand. Yeah, that does seem across someone who that has not maybe experienced this much in life, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the not, I'm not good in a clutch. Mm-hmm. That is an interesting phrase, but maybe we touch too much, you and me, baby. I'm not good in a clutch. I'm not going to sit and cry, though I'm an unlucky guy. I'm forever wandering. So I do not see a clear narrative here mm-hmm. that we often do. And I do feel, not to go to the well, but when I'm doing my Doctor Who podcast and we're doing a classic Who, Charles always giggles because I'm going to talk about the pacing uh-huh. because the modern Who is one episode. Maybe they'll do a two-parter, but normally 45 to 60 minutes is an episode. Back in the day, Doctor Who was serial, and it did a 25 episode over 6 weeks. So there's often 4 episodes worth of material that they stretch to 6. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you could be picking up the story a little bit. And and Charles is, take a drink, everyone. Jesse talked about pacing. I feel like at times John is still trying to find his narrative voice, I think, in Absolutely. Some of these early albums.
He is impressed by his own cleverness and his way to turn a phrase and find a rhyme. That's what these verses say to me, is that he just thought everyone has rhymed fun with something like that. I'll say undone. And I think he was intentionally being a little obtuse and trying to get people to wonder what he's talking about.
I do the chorus. It's a simple chorus. I think his voice works really well in the chorus. And I feel like there's an emotion in the chorus of either longing or a little bit of sadness. I can't talk, but it is... I feel that in the chorus. And in fact, in a lot of ways, I think the chorus is the strongest part of this song to me.
I agree. When I was talking about listening to this over and over again and singing along, it is a welcoming song. It shows off John's unusual voice, the way he stretches. And we might as well go ahead. The words are pretty simple of the chorus.
Yeah.
Forever yours, forever opening doors. Forever yours, forever.
Yeah.
He was definitely playing with the rhythm and the notes there more than trying to squeeze in a whole bunch of information on us. And there's something wonderful about when he sings forever opening doors. It is a welcoming, possibilities are before us, and that kind of happy kind of image, as opposed to maybe a little bit of uneasiness and wondering what's going on with the verses.
Yeah. All right, so the next verse. All this allegiance has me scared. They move in packs, we huddle in pairs. 2 in a million one-way fares, anyone going anywhere? And so to continue, so this is the modern dance. You and me, baby, this love don't stand a chance. But I'm not going to sit and cry, though I'm an unlucky guy, I'm forever wandering. What do we got, Sylvan?
I am reminded of many an interview where John talks about being the overweight, overlooked, geeky guy. This is the album that has the getting excited song. So to me, this is a person reflecting on this time in one's life where people start to find their mates, start to date, where they move in packs and huddle in pairs. People are like pairing off and finding each other and also finding their tribes within their high school years and beyond early adulthood. And I do like the idea of two in a million one-way fares, that it can be interpreted of there's just this mass group of people and I'm lost in the crowd, or you are such a rare find and we are going in the same direction, or one-way ticket can be a negative. I like the dramatic tension in that it could be interpreted a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
and
I do.
Anyone going anywhere.
Yeah, because you're one in a million, right?
Yeah.
Could be. So two in a million, one-way fares. And this is the modern dance, you and me, baby, this love don't stand a chance. I like that phrase, the idea that everyone is moving in packs, you are huddle in pairs. And he's saying that in this modern dance, there's probably we aren't going to make it, but I'm not going to sit and cry, though I'm an unlucky guy, unlucky in love, I would assume. And I'm forever wondering. And then you move into that really lovely chorus. I think the second set of verses are a little stronger than the first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying this part of the song more than I did the first part. And I think partly because, once again, is this kind of better to love and lost but never have loved at all, right? Is this kind of that feeling in this point? I don't know, but it could certainly, I think you could twist it this way.
Yeah, and if nothing else, these verses are showing a little bit of vulnerability as opposed to... there's almost something incel about the first couple of verses, that he's saying that he deserves something and he's not getting it. Whereas here, he's talking about his feelings a little bit more openly, which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You want to go to the third
Shall
verse?
Shall I go on?
Yeah. Yes, please.
So I think this might actually be a bridge, although I've proven that I don't know what a bridge is. Yours to have and yours to unfold. Who's to say we're just getting old? You're the one, never done what I told her. This chip on my shoulder is getting smaller by the day. Just when I was getting used to getting my way, everybody has to pay when love finally has her say. So there's a lot going on there. I'm going to stop before going on.
Yeah. Yours to have and to hold, right? But it's yours to unfold as life's going forward. Who's to say we're just getting old? And the idea that you haven't always done what I've told you to do, but the chip on my shoulder is getting smaller by the day, means am I getting used to you? Am I learning to appreciate you the way you are? I don't know, but I think that's what it feels like. And
well, what's really interesting is we read it all together, but there is a very different tempo shift between that. This chip on my shoulder hangs for a bit.
Yeah.
And then getting smaller by the day. It's almost like those could be completely different thoughts.
Yeah.
But reading them together, I do agree with your interpretation.
Yeah. And I like the idea, just when I was getting used to getting my way, everybody has to pay, right? And love finally has her say. Like, maybe by not getting my way is how I win. And is that how giving up what I'm my expectations of, and I don't mean this in a way of I'm settling for something that maybe isn't what it should be, but I having realistic expectations of what is in a relationship, right? It is, there's rainbow and kittens and all this sunshine. And then there's real life.
Figuring out who's doing the dishes tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And when you squeeze the toothpaste from the middle, I squeeze it from the end. And why do you not put the seat down? Yes. All those things. Yeah.
Yes.
And then I guess I'd better speak up now. You and me, baby, I'm holding on somehow. I'm not going to sit and cry. No, I'm just a lucky guy. I'm forever wondering. And then the chorus. What I love is he has a double chorus, right? This, I'm not going to sit and cry. No, I'm just a lucky guy. I'm forever wondering is repeated multiple times. And I think that works pretty well.
I agree. And that we're not sure if the chorus is an affirmation of a relationship that he's still hoping is going to work, or saying that I'm always going to be holding a torch for you, despite the fact that we didn't work out for all of these things that we're seeing in the verses.
Yeah, and I think it could be either one. I think it could be very easily, you could make the case that it's one or the other, depending on your perspective and what you're doing. I like that idea a lot.
Even like forever opening doors, is he being a gentleman and with her by his side, he's opening the door, they're walking through together? Or is he on a long, endless nightmare corridor, opening the door, searching for the thing that he's lost and can't find?
I did that. Is an interesting song. I think it's going to be very cool to rate it, because I like it a little more after we've broke it down, but I don't know how much more I'm going to like it. Any other thoughts before we go to our ratings?
I think that we've agreed that half points are cheating. That's my thought.
Yes, I agree.
But I absolutely agree with you. It is funny that, like, for all the negativity that the production and the searching for a sound of this album gets, it works for this particular song. It's hard to imagine Forever Yours without the overproduction, without the, you're going to two completely tempos and you've got this vocalization rising to a crescendo at one point in a verse, and then you slip into a downbeat very quickly. Like, that's not a bad thing here. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing in any direction. But I think this is one that you could hold up and say, this is what they were going for. Maybe it's not John's best self. Maybe it's not his most authentic self. But it's interesting. It's listenable. As I said, I've been listening to it all day. And there are those shifts are satisfying, actually, because you just feel like you're moving through the song.
When it, I don't know why, but it gives me the vibe of Lennon's Jealous Guy, right? The song, that has just a little bit of that feeling. And I think mainly it's just the emotion in John's voice. It is my turn to go first. I absolutely would give this 2.5 if we did half stars. I would just absolutely do this at 2.5. Split the middle, right?
Yeah.
And I think, though, I think if I have to go whole numbers, I'm going to give it a 2. I certainly don't think it's a 1 song, because the chorus saves it for me. And it is, I love his vocals on this and the feeling of it, but I don't think it's quite, and to remind, like in my mind, a 3 is a standard. Like, this is the bar that we hold John to. And I don't think it's quite there.
No, I absolutely agree. If something like this came out on a new album, you would raise your eyebrows and say, that doesn't seem up to John's standard. So I think that's a good way of putting it. I was coming from the opposite direction of thinking this is a 1-star, because I've certainly skipped it when it's come around. But it's interesting. And I don't know if he got across what he wanted to say lyrically, but the experimentation is fun. And I've got to give it a little bit of credit for peeling back the layers of John's songwriting process, which I think you can see here.
Yeah.
And it is fun to sing along to. So I started at a 1. I'm going to raise it to a 2.
Okay.
And we end up in the same place.
Yeah, I like that. That's very cool. I think that's very fair. God, good. I'd love for people that are all of a sudden fans to give us a feeling. And one, again, as you said, this is 82. this is in the there. He looks very young on the album cover to me. And he almost
unhuman on the album cover, if we're being honest. Yeah.
Yeah. And he reminds he looks like some other celebrity, but I can't think who it is. So we're both twos, locked and loaded. Very nice. If someone wants to reach you, how can they?
They can find me on Facebook, where I'm Sylvan Groth, and I'm always being a know-it-all and butting in on conversations on the John Hiatt fan group. We also have the podcast page, Perfectly Good Podcast, on Facebook. They can drop us an email at podcast@gmail.com. And I'm also on Instagram as Sylvan Groth and Twitter as Sylvan Green Eyes. I am not very often on either of those things, just to warn you. But please remember, the Perfectly Good Podcast at Gmail is where you send your entry for our contest. How about you, Jesse?
So I am at Jesse Jackson DFW on Twitter, Jesse Jackson on Facebook. I am not spending much time on social media much anymore. My time spent, I'm still working the new gig, and so doing podcasts and other things. I did want to give a plug to Set Lusting Bruce. The way this works out, I taped this last night, and so it'll be out probably a couple weeks after we release this one. But I had two gentlemen who are two of the three people that are behind the Induct Cyndi Lauper in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame campaign. Cool. And it was very interesting to hear. One of the rules is your artist cannot be involved whatsoever in any campaign to be part of the Hall of Fame. Like, Cyndi can't say, hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. That is totally against. If she had been selected, and she was on the ballot last in 2023, if she had been elected, then she could have thanked people that helped. But and so we did talk a little bit about John Hiatt and how we would have loved to see him. And it was a very fun discussion. Both gentlemen are massive Cyndi fans. One of them actually has turned his house into a Cyndi Lauper museum. And he says, I'm single now. I have my bedroom, and then the rest of the house is the Cyndi Lauper Museum. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks based on my timeline. And they are really fun to talk to. It was a really fun interview. It went over an hour. And
If I don't say it enough, you do such a great job. I'm spoiled that I get to play tennis with you and we back and forth ideas. But you have such a gift of getting people who have a vast knowledge of any subject and asking really open questions and listening, which is even rarer than the ability to ask good questions. So yes, please, if anyone here hasn't checked out Jesse's Set Lusting Bruce, there's a great episode to enter in. And he has so many fascinating people, and he has a very rare talent for allowing people to show their fascinating aspects.
Thank you, boy. I'm now blushing. So I think I'm for clip. Listeners, thank you so much for hanging with us. We would love for you to give us some love on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get the podcast. Send us a screenshot. We are still taking entries for our contest, and it helps people find us. So thank you so much for listening. Sylvan, we are getting close to the end of the letter, aren't we?
We are. It's hard to believe another one down, but yeah.
So I think the only thing left is have a little faith.
Have a little faith. Bye.
Bye.
Baby, we can come on home. Put the cow horns back on the Cadillac and change the message on the code of mine.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.